Good morning, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13 to verse 24 is the passage for our consideration as we conclude our study on the book of 1 Corinthians.
Wake up!
Or wake up, because that's the meaning of the word watch. This verse in verse 13 literally means wake up and stay awake. It's where we get the English word Gregory. This verse contained four verbs, and all of them are in the imperative. All of them. There is a sense of urgency as the Apostle Paul concludes this epistle. Do you think he would raise his voice, or do you think he will speak very softly? Wake up. What do you think? Four deliberate imperatives, and he has to continue because it's in the present tense. The problem with the church in Corinth was one of schism, followed by fornication, lawsuits amongst brethren because they were fighting over inheritance, and they were prepared to lose their testimony for the sake of carnal inheritance. There was the problem of proper worship. There was the abuse of spiritual gifts. They struggled with singlehood and married life. They also struggled with food offered to idols. And then there was the attack on the doctrine of resurrection. There is no other church in the entire New Testament that has so many issues and problems. And so I do not believe that when the Apostle Paul concludes his lengthy epistle dealing with all these serious issues, that he would just simply quietly, softly tell them, wake up. The urgency, of course, in terms of the loudness and the tone cannot be captured on pen and paper. But if the Apostle Paul were to be present with them, how do you think he would tell them that when you live a life as a church in this manner, filled with so many sins, schism, cannot agree, there were groups within the church that were opposing one another. There was no unity. There was fornication, and they did not mind it, and the sins were so bad that it was not even found outside, but it was found inside the church. And the abuse continued on. We live in a time where sin is no longer frowned upon. And when people sin, and because of the commonality of the sin that we see around us, the stench of sin has become so acceptable that it's no longer smelly to us as Christians. So much so that we have accepted that this is the way of life. Do we not realize that when we call ourselves Christians, that when we live in this manner with schism, with fornication, with lawsuits, with all the terrible evil and wickedness mentioned here in this book, the witness, the holy name of Jesus Christ is damaged. We don't realize that. Sometimes when we pray for someone who has been called or termed a backsliding, the tone that we mention the word backsliding seems to give us the impression that it is no big deal. It is a trivial transgression. It's a small sin. Is it? When the person called himself or herself a Christian and continued to live the life of carnality, where the person stops coming to church, the person definitely does not pray and definitely does not read the Bible, and yet he still called himself a Christian, and therefore he lived a life where the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life magnifies so clearly throughout his day-to-day life. Do you realize what transgression he has committed? He has taken the name of God in vain. Is that not part of the Ten Commandments that God has given to us, and that means very important to God? that whenever we call ourselves Christians, we are supposed to reflect a life of holiness. And that's why I do not believe the Apostle Paul, in his conclusion in verse 13, would just simply tell them, wake up, softly. When a house is on fire, you do not go to the room of your son or your daughter or your grandfather or grandmother who is sleeping soundly. Wake up. You want to really wake them up. Because a house is on fire, if you do not wake up and get out, you're going to die. We are talking about the death of the holy witness of Christ that we bear in our bodies. The moment we call ourselves Christians, when we get baptized in front of our family members, loved ones, we are basically telling them, please look at my life and you're going to see the image of the Son of God. That's what it means to call ourselves a Christian. And that is indeed a very heavy burden to carry. And that's why Jesus Christ says to us, don't carry it alone. Don't go on your own way and devise and define and made up your own cross. Whatever cross that I have made you to carry, it is made of wood and I've carried it before, Jesus says. It is not made of iron that will crush you, neither is it covered in velvet where it is a life of ease and luxury. It is made of wood. And you do not carry it alone because Jesus promised us, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It has to be His yoke. It has to be His burden. When we go our own way and carry our own burden according to our own definition, it will crush us because it will not be characterized by holiness and it will not reflect the image of Christ. And that's why the Apostle Paul in his conclusion told them, watch, wake up and remain awake. Don't sleep anymore, spiritually speaking, of course. Know what you are doing with your life everywhere you go, at home, at school, at work, in church. You do not stop bearing a holy witness for Christ. The only time you stop is when you are in the coffin. That's the end. That's the end. Other than that, wherever you go, whatever you do, even though you don't do anything, you are bearing a witness for Christ. And in that context of doing nothing, you are doing nothing for Christ. It's still doing something, but it is a negative impression that people will have. This person is a Christian, but he doesn't do anything for Christ. And that is a terrible negative impression. Last Lord's Day of the year 2017. Will it be a brand new year for you where you will truly know what it means to be called a Christian? That's why this verse, watch, four important verbs. They go hand in hand. You cannot take any one of them out. If you are awake, spiritually speaking, then you must stand fast in the faith and continue to stand fast in the faith. That means be stationary. Don't be moved. The world will blow at you like a typhoon. And they will try to move you to the right or to the left, but you stand fast in the faith. That is the Christian faith according to scriptures. When sickness come, stand fast. Hold on to Christ. Be a holy witness. Don't murmur, don't complain. It's easy to do that. Murmur and complain. Why me, Lord? Why me? Why not you? Why not? Do you not see that your life is always in the hand of your loving Heavenly Father in Christ? No virus, no bacteria, no bug, no cancer cell, nothing can touch you without your Heavenly Father's permission. And that's why for the year 2018, we have started this new theme for our church Bible study, suffering for Christ. Because sometimes we think that suffering for Christ is only limited to someone burning at the stake, someone thrown into prison. It has to come from another person, another individual. But day-to-day life, day-to-day experiences, we usually do not equate them and see them as part and parcel of suffering for Christ. And because of this myopic understanding and limitation that he has to be thrown into prison or be burned at the stake, then only we call it suffering. And because of our failure to see that all these others, sickness, bug, whatever it is part of the suffering for Christ. And when you look at it from that perspective, that when you are suffering from cancer, you are suffering for Christ. You will not murmur and complain. We read about how they were tied to the stake, strangled to death, and then burned. They never murmured, they never complained. Wow, how brave, how noble, how wonderful a witness. Because this is suffering for Christ. You see how an understanding that this is a suffering for Christ will change our entire approach toward it? When you don't see it as suffering for Christ, it's just happened to me. I'm sick now. I've got cancer. And you murmur and complain. Do you know what it implies? It implies that your Heavenly Father has gone to sleep. This disease caught my Heavenly Father off guard. And so it happened to me as a child of God, and the Father did not know. You think God is derelict in His care and love for you and me? Never. That's why it is so important for us to have a proper understanding. Stand fast in the faith. That means don't allow anyone or anything to move you from trusting in Christ, from a life of holiness and godliness according to Scriptures. Don't let the promotion of a job, if the promotion of a job causes you to lose your service and your witness for Christ, say no, thank you. Please do not think that just because it is a material increment or whatever it is a blessing. It is not. Very often it could be couched under a curse. It is sugar coated to make it tasty and sweet, but it is very bitter and poisonous within. Do not be so blind to think like the world. We are no longer blinded by the attractions of the world in Christ. Our eyes are open. We now are able to look at the world with the eyes of our Savior. The more you study the Bible, the more you will look at the world and your life with the eyes of Christ, which will help you to respond and react like Christ accordingly, at home, at work, in school. That's what it means by stand fast in the faith. Don't be moved. Because we do not know what lies ahead in 2018. We know what lied ahead in the year 2017 because today is the last day. And we all can reflect back upon the year 2017, and I'm sure it's a mixture of gold, silver, precious stone where you have been holy, a good witness, and of course there will be some moments of wood, hay, and stubble. If it is more wood, hay, and stubble, we have much to change. If most of it is gold, silver, precious stone, we thank God and we still have a little bit more to change and improve. Because our life will always be made up of these two categories. And God wants more of it in the category called gold, silver, precious stone from all of us who are His children. And that's why as leaders, we have planned many, many Bible studies and spiritual activities and ministries and fellowships with so many of God's people placed there by God's grace and mercy, and we thank God for each and every one of them, trying to do our utmost to provide avenues for you to grow. So that you will stand fast in the faith, you will position yourself stationary and not be moved no matter what happens. No matter what happens, lose your job, I trust. Lose your health, continue to trust. Whatever it is, you continue to trust. Because my Heavenly Father loved me when I was His enemy and sent Jesus Christ to die for me when I was His enemy. And now that I am a son of God, a daughter of God, why would my Heavenly Father suddenly stop loving me? His love for me will be constant and consistent. He will never stop loving me. If He loved me so much when I was His enemy, how much more will He continue to love me when I am His son, His daughter? Isn't that true? And that's why we must stand fast in the faith. And to do that, you have to know what the faith is you are standing in. That means you have to study God's Word. Let 2018 be a new year for you in your relationship to God through the study of God's Word. Would you make that promise and consecration? It's a very good time to start if you have failed last year to read through the Bible in the year 2017. If you have started today, you should be reading Revelation chapter 22. You should be reading Malachi chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4 as your final read for this year. Because you have been doing it since 1st January 2017. Would you promise God to do something, read through the Bible to the year 2018? There are so many of these Bible reading program throughout the year available on the internet, Some of them are in hard copy as well in our book room. Do it as a group, do it as a team, do it as a fellowship, whatever it is. Encourage one another to read. And read, don't just read and go through the motion, read with prayer and understanding. Any verse, any phrase that stands out, highlight, underline. Any verse, any phrase, any word that you are not sure, don't just skip and forget it. Mark it down somewhere and try to find out the meaning. And you will be transformed. That's the power of God's word. You cannot help yourself. Because the Spirit of God who indwell you will take the word of God and it will cleanse you. It will sanctify you. It will purify your mind with all the carnal thinking that once upon a time filled your mind, which in turn control your desires for carnal things. And that will change. The power of God's word is real. Is it not true that God spoke His word and this whole universe came into being? Was it not true that Jesus Christ said, "Peace, be still," and the whole storm just suddenly disappeared and the Sea of Galilee became completely calm, like a mirror. Completely instantaneous. The waves were boisterous and turbulent and the wind was blowing, and the moment Christ spoke the words, "Peace, be still," and suddenly everything just simply stopped. The power of God's word is true and is real. And I'm sure you have experienced this when you first accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior. And because you may have forgotten that experience because it had been a long time ago, rekindle that experience by just studying God's word. Let the word of God be your day-to-day diet, just like you eat your breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day. Would you make this promise? Otherwise, how will you and I able to stand fast in the faith, to remain stationary when we are buffeted by the challenges of life, and they will come? We do not know what is in store for us, 2018, but we know that our Heavenly Father knows, and He will never allow me to be tempted beyond that which my faith is able to bear. That's His promise in 1 Corinthians 10:13. My Heavenly Father will not allow me to carry a load that will crush me. It may take away all my self-confidence and replace it with God's confidence the way He did it in Peter's life. That's good. But it is never meant to destroy me. It is meant to build me up, to strengthen me so that I will learn what is God's confidence and stop leaning on self-confidence. Because self-confidence is pride. It's destructive. God's confidence is glorifying to God and it will build me up as a better witness for Christ. A big difference. That's why Paul says, wake up, stand fast in the faith. Be a man, quit you like men. That's what it means. Be man, it means be a mature believer. No longer remain as an infant. And you cannot grow without food. There are people who have been believers for 30 years, but because they have been doing nothing, don't read the Bible, hardly attended any fellowships, they have remained as a 3-year-old believer, even though they have grown 30 years from the day they first accepted Christ. They may claim and boast that they are a 30-year-old believer, but when you talk to them, when you look at their lives, when you examine them, when you relate to them, you realize that they do not know much of God's word. You realize that they are like a 3-year-old child in terms of spiritual things. By the way, have you memorized the 12 minor prophets? Do you know the sequence? Do you know the sequence? Just a simple test. Are we manly in our spiritual life? What's the first book? Malachi, right? Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. I think I added one more extra. There are 13. There are only 12. Know them. Know them. Now, we're only talking about the books. We're not talking about the content. The content is another thing. How to be a mature believer, you have to study the word. And that, every father, mother, you have no choice. You have no option. Your children's spiritual well-being depends on you. Your whole household Whether it is spiritual or carnal depends on your spirituality, especially the Father. You cannot procrastinate anymore, because with every passing moment, it's either for Christ or against Christ. That's what Jesus Christ meant. You are not for me, you are against me. If you are not proactively pointing your family to Christ through the study of God's word yourself, you are going backwards. You are pointing your family to the world, which is carnality, where the god of this world is the devil. When you send them to school, what do you think they are bombarded with? The ideas and philosophies of the god of this world, that is the devil. You have to shield them, you have to educate them, you have to protect them. When they switch on the computer, when they switch on the television, when they go out in the world, when they watch the world in front of them, what do you think they are going to be bombarded with? The philosophies and the ideas and the carnality and the attractions of the god of this world, which is the devil. And that is why you have to insulate them up to a point by teaching them the word of God when they are very young, before they are exposed to the world. And that's one of the important ministries that we have in our Christian kindergarten. The word of God has to be emphasized and re-emphasized to help parents. We are not to replace you. We are to help you, to assist you. And that's what the Sunday school is supposed to do. That's what the CMC is for. That's what the VBS are for. All these are to help you as Christian parents. But if you do not, then everything that the teachers in the church try to teach your children will be neutralized and canceled out, because mom and dad are carnal. They are not my mom and dad in church. They are not my mom and dad in kindergarten nor in CMC. Well, who do you think they're going to listen to more? Mom and dad or everybody else? Mom and dad. And therefore, mom and dad, if you are already a mother and a father, you have no option. If you have not been doing it, you are already behind time. You have to start yesterday, in other words, to make sure that you know the word of God and be a man, be an adult in the things of the Lord. That's what it means by quit you like men. Not in terms of physical, but in terms of spiritual. And you know that it takes time. And you have already lost so much time. You now have to redeem your time and gain back the time, so that you must be a godly father and a godly mother to your children as they continue to grow older and older, and they have not been seeing Christ in you. They need to see Christ in you, because the Christ that you present as father and mother will have the greatest dominance and influence in them over that of the Christ image in their Sunday school teacher or in anyone else. That's how important you are to your children. And therefore, as fathers and mothers, we have designed the church Bible study for you, so that the children can also have their own Bible study while you are attending the Bible study without having to look after them. They are being looked after by Sunday school teachers, by other teachers of God's word. They will be fed the word of God, and after that, we will have dinner together as a family. And this is to help you, to assist you, not to replace what you do at home. These are all for you. So are all the fellowship groups, and that's why next Lord's Day is Dedication Sunday, where everyone who serves the Lord in any capacity will have to rededicate our lives for renewal of love and service, and to have reflect upon where we have failed the Lord and how we must pray and ask God to give us new love and new resolve to serve Him more faithfully in the year 2018 than the year 2017. That's what Dedication Sunday is meant to be. Because we want all of you to grow and become mature in the faith. Because once you are mature in the faith, the devil cannot dupe you. They cannot deceive you. Why do you think our society protects children? Why do you think our society criminalizes people who take advantage of the young ones? We read in the papers of all these kind of terrible sexual transgressions of adults over young children. And some of them dare to say in their defense, they have the audacity and the shamefacedness to say, well, the 16-year-old agreed. What? You are a grown man. You are supposed to protect them. Instead, you take advantage of them. Thank God the government finds them criminal and put them into prison. We're supposed to protect them. Is it not true also in the spiritual sense? The difference is, You are already a father and a mother, and you cannot afford to be a spiritual child as you look after your own children in the physical sense. You cannot be contented with that. You have to grow fast, because your children continue to grow and they need to see Christ in you. Your husband-wife relationship, your parent-child relationship. That's what it means. Wake up, all of us, especially fathers and mothers who have been blessed with children. Stand fast in the faith. Be a man and be strong. And the word strong here is to be strong in spiritual matters. Strong in your prayer life. Strong in your knowledge of the Word of God. That anyone who comes and challenge the position, the conviction that you have, you are ever ready day and night to give a reason for the faith that you believe in. Anytime, any doctrine, any issue. Because you have been studying and you have been contending. And you have been witnessing. That's what it means by be strong. Be strong for others. Be strong for us. Be strong for Christ. Be strong for your children. Be strong for the spiritually weak and the spiritually young ones. That's what the Apostle Paul wants it to be for the church in Corinth. And that's how he concludes. And to do that, to watch, to be strong, to be manly, to be an adult, and to stand fast, you have to do so with love. Verse 14. To do so with love. Because love is the greatest motive. If you do not do it with love, you do it for the accolades of man. When nobody recognizes you, nobody says thank you, nobody pats you on the back, you're going to murmur and complain. You're going to sulk. And you indulge in self-pity. I did so much, I did this, I sacrificed this. Nobody noticed me, nobody cares. Because you are not constrained by the love of God. This is agape love. Let all your things be done with charity. That is agape love. Love in action. That's why the King James translated using the word charity. Which is correct. Not just the feeling of love, but a love that is backed up by practical actions where you will sacrifice your time and your substance without caring for any human being to recognize you. You just simply do it because this is done for Christ's sake. Because I love my Lord Jesus Christ and I will do it for Christ and I'm prepared to give my life for Christ, whatever it takes, time, strength, energy. As long as it is for Christ, it will be done with His enabling. People recognize you, does not recognize you, it does not matter. And you will not be affected by the reaction and the response of people. Sure, there will be disappointment, but don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. You keep on doing, keep on serving. Disappointment and sad, yes. When you do what is right, there will be disappointments because the people will not like you, the people will not respond correctly, the people might even slander you, but be sad and be disappointed, but don't be discouraged whereby you stop doing it. You continue to do. You continue to stand for truth and righteousness. You continue to show patience and compassion. You continue to do everything according to the Bible. That's what it means by wake up, stand fast, be a man, and be strong. But always do it with the love of Christ constraining you. So that what the Lord Jesus Christ thinks of you is all that matters. And you will continue to do it to the very last breath that God has given to you. That's what you have to do. Because any other motive, the devil will find out and he will use it against us. He will use it against us. We all love to be recognized. This is our sad human nature. To be put on a pedestal, to be printed in the bulletin, to find our big name and our big face in the newspaper so that people will recognize you for what you have done. This is pride. This reflects a lack of the love of Christ as our motivation. This is the love of men. This is seeking the man's accolades and man's pleasing motive. And God says that is sinful, that is wrong. That's why the Apostle Paul says, let all things be done out of love, in practical terms. Show it. Do it for others. No need to remember me, no need to recognize. It's okay. When we are dead and gone, whenever they think of your name, let the name of Christ cover your name. Whenever they think of you, they think of Christ. That is what our heart desires. Isn't that true? Our name is not going to save anyone, only the name of Christ. But if they think of Christ and not your name, isn't that a wonderful thing? Because Christ's name, the only name under heaven that can save a soul, a sinner, from hell. That's why they must remember Christ. Because of the way that you serve, because of the way that you witness, because of the way that you live. No other name is better than the name of Jesus Christ. Isn't that true? And that's why constrained by the love of Christ will be the motive that will keep you awake, standing fast, be an adult believer, and be strong in the faith, and not be moved, and be strong for others as well. You cannot run away and hide. You have to be supportive of others who serve. And that's what you find in verses 15 and 16. I beseech you, brethren, Paul says, you know the house of Stephanas, that he is the first fruits, that means the first believers in the city or the province of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. The word addicted means he has self-appointed himself. That means he was prepared to do anything for the ministry of the saints, sacrificially, like what we have been talking about in verses 13 and 14. He made it his addiction. This is a good addiction. This is his desire, his consuming desire, to be a faithful diakonos, a ministry of the saints, to help other believers, to build them up in the faith, to serve them, so that they can become better Christians, better fathers, better mothers. And so Paul said to them, you submit yourself to such a one. You support them. That means be supportive of these individuals who give up their time, who sacrifice their time and their substance so that you and I may grow spiritually. Be supportive of them. Don't tear them down. Don't ignore them. Don't destroy them. Encourage them. And to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth, toiling, working hard, we thank God for each and every one of you who serve the Lord faithfully. We know that it is a sacrifice for you to come down every Saturday to serve in CMC. We know it is a sacrifice for you to have plans and programs and meetings, to prepare lessons, to discuss lessons in the junior worship, including all the fellowship groups, including all the Bible study groups where you have to study hard after your hard day's work and you sit down and you prepare your lessons. We thank God for you. We want to encourage you to continue to do more, because that is a blessing to all of us. And that is what Christ has left you behind on earth to do. And as you study, you will also grow spiritually. And when you grow spiritually and you teach the word of God, you help others to also grow. You know how wonderful a life that is? You know how wonderful an experience that is? To have that kind of impact in the lives of people around you for Christ, that they will learn to love Christ more, that they will become more Christ-like because of your devotion, because of your life of sacrifice. And that's why we have to support such individuals. People like Stephanas, right? The brethren who is from the house of Stephanas, and others who helped the Apostle Paul and who toiled and worked very hard. Not only that, learn to give. Give of your substance, give of your time. You see that in verse 17 and verse 18. I'm glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on my part you have supplied. They gave Paul material things that he lacked as he went from city to city, place to place, preaching the word of God. He needs to eat, right? He needs physical food, physical things to keep him warm in winter. He needs new sandals as he travels and walks from city to city. All these things do not just simply come. And so they supplied his physical needs as he supplied the spiritual needs of others. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. So, constrained by the love of Christ, be supportive of those who are laboring and toiling. Encourage them. Give them a word of thank you. They don't expect it, okay? They don't expect it. They serve only constrained by the love of Christ. But on our part, as a recipient of their faithful service, we should do the right thing. We should do the right thing and say thank you for your labor of love, for your sacrifice, for your help, and then learn to give. Learn to give as a very important start. Give of your substance, give of your time. Not out of compulsion, not because you have to, because you want to, because you love God's people and you love God and you love the Lord Jesus Christ. They helped the Apostle Paul. Imagine if the Apostle Paul had to busy himself with more tent making. He would have less time doing spiritual work. But because they took care of his material, physical needs and well-being, so he could devote all of his time in things spiritual. And that was the Apostle Paul's gratitude and thankfulness to them. Same today. No difference. Give to help. Continue to give. That's what it means by wake up, do things spiritual. Be more sensitive to the needs of the people around you. Help. That's what it means. And finally, verse 19 to 24, your life and my life is a spiritual life. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. Church after church, church after church. It's a spiritual life that we are living. It's a spiritual battle that we are fighting, a spiritual witness that we are witnessing. Everything that we do is spiritual because you are spiritual in Christ. There is no such thing as secular, and anything that you do is no longer spiritual. Everything you do is spiritual. No matter how mundane, no matter how you may think otherwise, it is spiritual when you vacuum, when you mop, when you wash, when you iron. All these are spiritual activities because you are a spiritual person. Everything that you do is spiritual. Why do you think Jesus Christ says, if it is not spiritual, that if you offer someone a cup of water in my name, you will not lose your reward? How much effort does it take to offer someone a cup of water in Christ's name? And yet, that simple act of giving someone a cup of water in the name of Christ, Jesus says, you will not lose your reward. That is spiritual, isn't that true? Because you are spiritual. That's how you must look at your life. It is a rich life. It is a wonderful life. It is a spiritual life. What you say, what you do, the moment you are born again in Christ, you will never stop to be spiritual because the Spirit of God who indwells you will never leave you. That's how you become a spiritual person. The moment you accept the Christ as Lord and as Savior, the Spirit of God dwells in you immediately as a seal and as an evidence that you are a child of God. And He will fill you, lead you, guide you, help you, provide for you, illumine you, help you understand God's Word, help you do everything. And as long as He remains in you and it is forever, you will always be spiritual. And since He will never leave you, you will never stop being spiritual. Even after you have breathed your last breath, you are absent from the body, present with the Lord, the Spirit of God still dwells in you. When you get your glorified body, He will still dwell in you. You will always be spiritual. Otherwise, how are you going to understand spiritual things? As long as you continue to understand spiritual things, the Spirit of God will always dwell in you. And therefore, everything you do from the moment you become a Christian, it is spiritual. And that's why He greets all the churches. All the believers greet you. Greet ye one another with a holy kiss. That's how they show love and care. That is their way. For us, we shake hands. Don't go around kissing one another. The salutation of me, Paul, be with my own hand. He wants to greet them. No matter what the troubles, no matter what the transgressions, Paul still regards them as brothers and sisters in Christ, children of God. Children of God, we are here to help. We are not here to judge and condemn. We are here to encourage, to help. Sure, there will be times we need to discipline. But the discipline is for the purpose of restoration. It is never for the purpose of condemnation. And if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. Let him be a curse. Let him be a curse. The word love here is phileo, means if you do not love the Lord Jesus Christ for a reason. What is the reason? He is your Lord and your Savior. That's why the word used is phileo, not agape. There is a reason for your love for Christ. He is your Lord and your Savior. He died for you to save you. And if you do not have this love, let your life be a curse to everyone. And you do not want that. As a child of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. All the blessings and all the benefits of God the Father be upon all of you. And my love be with you all in Christ, Paul says. And so say all of us to one another. Let the love of Christ be expressed mutually to one another in Christ Jesus. Wake up. Stand fast in the faith. Be a man in your walk with Christ. Grow spiritually and be strong. And constrained by the love of Christ, be supportive of one another. Learn to give and know that your life is a spiritual life for eternity. Now this is what a Christian life is, and this is what you must desire for yourself as a child of God. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the year 2017 as we enter into the last day and the last Lord's Day of this year. We thank Thee, Lord, that You have been such a good and wonderful God to all of us. And the Lord Jesus Christ has indeed been a wonderful Savior, our Lord, our Provider, our Sustainer, our Master. Where we have failed Thee and failed Him, O Lord, may Thou forgive us. Where we have not prayed as often as we ought, forgive us. If we have not studied and read God's Word the way that we ought to, in feeding our hungry soul, may Thou stir within our hearts in the new year, that we may reconsecrate our lives to have a daily diet of Thy holy Word. And may we do so with understanding and with a heart of obedience always. For our heart's cry, O Lord, is to conform more and more to the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we cannot do that without the Word of God sanctifying us, cleaning our hearts and our minds of all the filth that we are confronted with every moment of every day when we wake up. The world will bombard us with the carnality and the ideas and the philosophies of the God of this world, the devil himself. And only the Word of everlasting life is able to protect us, to wash us, and to clean our hearts and our minds. Create in our hearts, O Lord, in the hearts of all Your children, a thirst and hunger for Thee and for Thy truth, that we will desire to read God's Word the first thing in the morning when we wake up, and to close our eyes after we have read the Word of God before we go to sleep. We thank Thee, Lord, once again for this life that You have given to us in Christ Jesus, a life that we can influence the people around us for Christ, so that they will see the Son of God by the way we speak, by the way that we live, and glorify our Father who art in heaven. May this be the cry of all Your children as we close another year and look forward to the new year. Bless our hearts, O Lord, with Thy truth, and may the Word of God not return unto Thee void, but accomplish all that Thou hast purposed it for the conviction of every heart, to the praise and glory of Thy holy name. For this we ask with thanksgiving, in Jesus' name. Amen.